Welcome to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services, a show about coping with getting older ourselves and dealing with our aging parents. If you have questions about how to cope with these stresses, call Scott at 877-960-9960. Now, here's Scott.
Welcome, everybody. Another edition of Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom. And the show tonight is especially on point due to my intro in terms of dealing with stresses, because we're gonna talk about medical marijuana or more in a second. But if you're listening on 95.9 in the Palm Beaches and you're on 95 or the Turnpike going home, please be careful. If you're already home on the Treasure Coast, 106.9, same applies to you. I can't thank you all enough for spending a little bit of your free time with us tonight. We have a great show. We really do. Medical marijuana, what is it? Is it safe? Is it right for you? And is it even legal? All of those questions and more when we speak with my guest tonight, Dr. Jessica McCain. I'm going to tell you a whole bunch more about Dr. McCain in just a minute, but she's going to help explain all the confusion around medical marijuana, of which I know there is much. But first, I'm going to keep on pounding on this until everybody gets their vaccine. Please go get vaccinated. We hear one more tragic story after the other about someone who succumbed to COVID needlessly because they refused to get vaccinated. I don't know how much more we need in order to convince people to do this. But I care about you. Your family cares about you. Your friends care about you. We want you to be around a long time. It helps the ratings, and it keeps your family fed during the holidays. So please, do what you can. Go out and get vaccinated. The other thing is, again, I am as apolitical on this show as I possibly can be. I try never to get involved in politics. I did last week for the first time, and I will again before the show is over about that restaurant in Jupiter. I hope you don't go to. But more importantly, it was announced today that the governor's wife has breast cancer. And we've done a lot of shows about breast cancer over the years, including one just recently. It's a tragic diagnosis. It doesn't have to be if you catch it early, and hopefully she did. But I do want to send our best wishes and all of our best wishes out to the governor's wife, and I encourage you all. She's only 41. As all of you know, I've talked about this many times on the show. Go get tested. Go for your annual screenings. Go for your mammograms. You want to catch this disease in its precancerous or stage one rather than stage two, three, or four. So please, if there's been a wake-up call today, was that. But let me tell you a little bit more about my guest, because that's why you tuned in. Dr. Jessica Collins McCain is native to Fort Pierce. She's the one. She was born there. She returned to her hometown as a family medicine physician and graduated with the highest of honors from both Florida State University and St. George's University School of Medicine. Her experience of studying abroad as well and in a variety of settings throughout the U.S. provided her with a unique perspective of healthcare systems and patient needs. With her husband, Brett McCain, they own and operate two medical practices. In Fort Pierce is her direct primary care clinic, built specifically using a healthcare model that provides price transparency and a common sense approach to business, then allowing for a more personalized experience for general medical care. The second clinic, now open for nearly 4.5 years, is what we're here to talk about tonight. It's the Southern Comfort Marijuana Clinic in Port St. Lucie, Florida, providing education, certification, and patient advocacy for the use of medicinal cannabis. Patients have been able to appreciate the way Dr. McCain approaches problems with novel solutions and an integrative approach through both unique clinics for the Treasure Coast area. And Dr. McCain, welcome to the show. How are you tonight?
I'm doing well, thanks. Scott, thanks for asking.
Great. You know, there's so much here. So why don't we start with kind of the fundamentals? Medical marijuana, medicinal cannabis, what is it and what isn't it?
Sure. So the term cannabis is kind of an overarching term, more so just to describe the plant. And then there's a federal designation. So if a plant contains more THC, it's more marijuana. And if it has, you know, absolutely nearly no THC, it would be more of a hemp plant. So hemp and marijuana are both cannabis plants, and you'll hear me use those terms a little bit interchangeably because, you know, the term marijuana has just become so stigmatized, and we're trying to destigmatize that. So a lot of clinicians will call it medical cannabis when we're referring to using it as a medicine. And that's kind of one thing that we really want to, you know, try to let people understand is that, you know, with marijuana, we all think about getting high. You know, with medical cannabis, you do not have to. And again, there's a whole spectrum of THC and not THC products that can be used to help a lot of different issues for patients.
So is that the biggest myth about medicinal cannabis or medical marijuana? Is it that people think it's just a legal way to get high and that it really isn't that?
I think so, because I think I was even in that boat. When I was looking at the referendums before they were voted on, again, 71% in favor in 2016 for access to medical cannabis in the state of Florida. I think we are all wondering, is this just a stepping stone to adult use in the future? But with a lot of education, with attending conferences, speaking to other cannabis patients and families, I certainly learned that this is not true. And actually, people have been using cannabis since anecdotally 2700 BC. You know, the Chinese emperor, kind of, you know, the Chinese legend, father of Chinese medicine, was using cannabis to treat a number of different conditions, including gout and dementias. And actually, in the United States, there is something called a PDR, which is like a pharmacopoeia, telling doctors how to prescribe medicines. And marijuana or cannabis was actually in this pharmacopoeia up until 1942. And so it was a medicine until like the mid-1900s when it became outlawed. And now we have just a huge multi-generation of doctors who just were not educated about the therapeutic benefits of cannabis and how to use it appropriately for a variety of medical conditions.
So now I have about 20 new questions. So what then is the difference, and is there a difference between street marijuana and medicinal marijuana, medical marijuana?
So street cannabis is purposely grown to be psychoactive, meaning that it can cause a high. With medical cannabis, you do not have to get high. Now, there are some benefits. So if someone is particularly depressed or anxious, now those psychoactive properties might actually help stabilize them. So I'm not saying that we want to get rid of THC completely. It certainly has its place in a lot of different conditions. But in the medical cannabis world, you have access to a lot of other types of cannabinoids. These are chemicals that are in the plant that have medical benefit and wash away the negative side effects. So you can certainly fine-tune and find products that work really well that do not cause any impairment mentally. And so I think that's, again, one of those biggest myths that people come into it. Oh, I tried it back when. I didn't like how it made me feel. Well, this is certainly a different way to approach it, because when you're getting it from regulated dispensaries, you know exactly what you're putting into your body, and you can fine-tune it and change what percentages of CBD or THC that you're getting in order to have a good complement where you don't have any side effects.
So that's one of the questions I have. I want to stay on myths, but I guess I'll come back to it because it seems timely to ask this question. There is not just one version or form or formulary of medical marijuana. You, as a prescribing physician, can adjust the amount of THC, explain that, because I have to confess, not being a marijuana user, and it's not because some police may be listening, but I've never really smoke marijuana. I am that person that smoked marijuana once and said, oh, this isn't for me. I'd rather drink the Southern Comfort. But anyway, can you adjust medical marijuana to be different for each person?
Absolutely. At the dispensaries, you have that degree of control over it. Let's actually, if you don't mind, I'll take a step back and explain. I keep throwing out these initials, CBD, THC. What
right.
is this all about?
Right.
So basically, in the 90s, it was kind of, I think we always knew that there were chemicals in the cannabis plant in the early 70s, Dr. Mishlam, who's like an Israeli researcher, came out with synthetic THC. That's what people get prescribed, Marinol or Dronabinol, if they have cancer or HIV, for example. But I'll tell you, every time I prescribe that, patients usually return it saying they don't like the side effects of it.
Right.
So in the 90s, it was discovered that we actually have this natural system, a whole organ system called the cannabinoid, endocannabinoid system, that actually is responsible for regulating neurochemicals downstream, meaning that it actually does help control the level of production of dopamine, which, you know, is correlated with Parkinson's and acetylcholine with Alzheimer's, serotonin, adrenaline. So this endocannabinoid system is actually responsible for memory, mood, temperature regulations, GI, use, reproductive health. And it actually is really safe in a sense because it doesn't have any receptors in the heart or respiratory system. That's why nobody's ever overdosed on cannabis to a negative degree. But basically, this natural system sometimes with chronic stressors gets depleted. And we actually make CBD and THC in our bodies. We call it arachidonylglycerol acid and 2-anatamide. And these chemicals, when they become depleted, just think about it as any other vitamin deficiency, we're using the cannabis plant to replenish it. So what we're trying to say is that your body may be craving CBD and maybe craving THC. They work in very different patterns depending on what your issue is, whether it's anxiety or pain, and I can explain that further. But basically, that's it. We're really just supplementing a natural deficiency, or maybe people's natural organ systems weren't making the right values to start with, and we're supplemented like similar to what pharmaceuticals do.
So that would prompt the question for me. Is this just symptom control, or is it curative, or is it all of the above?
I would say actually it's all of the above. There actually has been disease remission shown. So, for example, multiple sclerosis. We know that that is a very debilitating disease, but also it's waxing and waning, meaning it has symptoms, it doesn't, it relapses and then goes in remission. Well, when they've done studies actually in people's brains, they found that when we were in remission, when the disease is gone, the receptors are all lined up in a very patterned organization. And then when there is a relapse, the receptors are all disorganized and the levels of cannabinoids in the bloodstream are low actually. We have seen remission in disease states such as Crohn's disease and autoimmune diseases where we can do blood work and actually see inflammatory markers go down, for example. And even in rheumatoid arthritis, they've done studies on animals where they can create genetic defects, give them cannabis, and show that they do not have the bony destruction because of the animals that were getting the cannabis product were actually getting bone protective benefits. So again, cannabis works a lot like the pharmaceuticals do to change kind of disease patterns. And then, you know, where damage is done, it can absolutely help with symptom control. Another great example is like cancers. So the studies were done like early in the 70s proving that cannabis actually promotes your natural system to target cancers. So that way they kind of eat themselves up, don't give it blood supply, and prevent metastasis. And this study has been redone now several times throughout the decades. But more importantly, I mean, I'm not saying use this instead of any cancer therapy. I'm saying use it as a complement because so many people have come back having gone through chemo and radiation, which are really toxic. And those treatments can be very debilitating. If they're using cannabis at the same time, oftentimes in a palliative nature, they're saying, I'm not nauseous. You wouldn't even know I was going through chemo. I'm handling it so beautifully. So there's a lot of different reasons to use it, whether you're trying to control the disease. I would say mitigate it, prevent it from getting worse, and then actually controlling the symptoms where the damage is done and healthcare prevention. We all are kind of, when cannabis goes recreational, we're just going to be fat America. That's not true, actually, because chronic cannabis users are one-third less likely to have high blood pressure, have cholesterol issues, COPD, or diabetes. So it's actually health-promoting.
Well, that's that's a new approach. I guess that's one of the myths, right? I mean, that was one of the other myths that we're responding to. Before I move on, because I mean, I have so much to ask you about delivery systems and when people should do that, how you get it, the legality and all of that. Are there any other critical myths? I know that when you and I spoke in preparation, you know, that is the kind of the highest hurdle that you have, which is dispelling the myths. And I guess the myths, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I guess the myths can go both ways. Myths might be that they think medical marijuana will fix everything, and then the other myth is that it really isn't anything. As we said earlier, it's just an excuse to get high. Are there things out there that you would like to correct people's opinions of before we move on to others?
Absolutely. I love talking about the history of cannabis and specifically the prohibition of it, because I think that's where we are today. Right. Some of us have been exposed to only the negative connotations for it. So when we think about it again, in the early 1900s, actually settlers were required to grow 200 acres of cannabis plant because hemp was really a good product. It can be used for more than 25,000 different industrial uses, from foods as well as to cattle grain to building materials. So that's one really important use of cannabis, specifically in the hemp form. But what happened is in the early 1900s, there was a lot of political going into it. We were trying to, you know, stop Mexican immigration, to be honest. And so that led to a lot of states coming up with laws and just creating scapegoats that cannabis is just creating criminality. And so when you have the drug czar, Harry Anslinger, who's pretty famous, he served from 1930 to 1962. He was the one who created this reefer madness and really just even put it in motion picture films that, you know, women cry for it, men will die for it, and horrendous acts of criminality and insanity will come from the use of it. And we all know this is not accurate. And unfortunately, there was it became a Schedule I drug. So basically, when a drug becomes Schedule I, and this is associating with like crack cocaine, it's stating that there is no medical benefit, that the risks are so great, high addiction potential, and so there's not even a value to even researching it. And that's what happened when it became a Schedule I drug, that we no longer were able to research it. It came off of the PDR, which is a prescriber almanac, like I explained. And basically, this is why for the past several decades now, we just know the negative. And I really just want to wrap the history part up by saying, the Nixon administration had an opportunity to decriminalize it, and there was an organization called the Schaefer Committee that was able to overturn any attorney general's recommendations, and they came out saying, you should not be making this illegal and you decriminalize it. The American Medical Association came out saying, we should not be criminalizing cannabis. And there is a really great quote that John Ehrlichman, who is kind of Nixon's right-hand man for domestic affairs, and he said, we knew we couldn't make it illegal to be against either the war or blacks, but by getting the public to associate the hippies with marijuana and blacks with heroin and then criminalizing both heavily, we could disrupt those communities. We could arrest their leaders, raid their homes, break up their meetings, and vilify them night after night on the evening news. Did we know we were lying? Of course we did. Wow. And this came out in his memoir in the early 90s, just to kind of as an emphasis. And really, as of today, the use of cannabis is not really medically risky. It's legally risky. In fact, in the 1951, the Boggs Act, which is creating minimal sentencing laws, its first application was for simple marijuana possession. And here we are today, still a lot of people incarcerated for cannabis use. Here we're making it legal in a lot of states. More than 36 states now having legalized cannabis or in a medicinal form. And it just creates a lot of conflict and misunderstanding about kind of the history of cannabis and where it's going. You know, today in Florida, I just looked at the statistics, 619,000 Floridians have been registered to be users of cannabis. So it's really changing the times, and it's just a matter of getting it more publicized for people to understand. And if you don't mind, I can keep going just to say that the other huge myth, and I would say strongly in the medical community as well, is that there's just not enough research. And that is a complete bold-faced fallacy, because you can go to a website called PubMed, where they actually publish international studies all over, and you can type in the word cannabinoid, and you'll pull up 37,000 articles for published research studies based on searching the cannabinoid system or using cannabis as medicine.
Wow. I mean, that's really that is fascinating. I confess I knew almost none of that. And I know that's not what we're talking about tonight because we're talking about the medical use of it. But when you think about the amount of money this country spends in incarcerating people for smoking marijuana, it is really astounding, and there are people there for a long time. But if you're just tuning in, this is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older, so is my mom. Here tonight, and if you've been listening, you understand, we're talking about a fascinating subject with Dr. Jessica McCain of Southern Comfort Marijuana Clinic. We're talking about medical marijuana, and we have so much more to ask Dr. McCain. If you have anything that you'd like to ask Dr. McCain or myself, you can reach us. 877-960-9960. That's 877-960-9960.
I'm here with Allison from Comfort Care Senior Services. Allison, at Comfort Care, you guys are proud to be a family-owned and operated business.
That's right, Mike. It's myself and my husband, Tino, my sister, Melissa, and her husband, Joe, and my parents, Irene and Scott Greenberg. As you can tell by six family members being able to work together, family is extremely important to us. Our clients often have kids that live out of state or even overseas, and those extended family members want to have the comfort of being able to contact a family member at any time to follow up on how mom or dad is doing. While you are able to reach a family member at any time, our office staff is truly part of our extended family. They monitor the phones 24/7 in case of an emergency and are empowered to make decisions that are in the best interest of the client, because at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines the quality of life. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620, or visit our website at palmbeach.comfortcare.com. That's palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As your parents get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared?
Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. Eldercare 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and resources to assist you and your loved ones with their daily activities of living with healthcare challenges.
As a patient advocate, Eldercare 360 brings together a team of patient-focused, caring professionals with decades of experience. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800.
Make Eldercare 360 part of your team. Eldercare 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
Hi, I'm Laura Oliveris, the president of Silver Solutions, the senior-focused home services company. Unfortunately, COVID-19 continues to be a reality for too many of us. But thankfully, every day, more and more of our older adults are getting protected by the vaccine. At Silver Solutions, we pride ourselves on protecting older adults as well, from safety improvements to downsizing to emptying the home after the loss of your loved one. Silver Solutions is here to help you move forward with ease and confidence. To find out more, call us today at 877-AGE-SAFE. That's 877-AGE-SAFE. Or visit us online at silversolutions.com. Our team is bonded, insured, and follows rigorous CDC guidelines, including the full use of PPE. Life can bring the unexpected, but when it comes to making growing older safer and less stressful, you can count on us, Silver Solutions.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. We're thrilled that you're with us tonight. If you're a regular listener, thanks for coming back. If you're new, thanks for finding us. If you found us for the first time tonight, you're in luck because I'm talking with Dr. Jessica McCain of the Southern Comfort Marijuana Clinic. We're talking about medical marijuana. I think most of the first part of the show tonight, we dealt with dealing with some of the myths about medical marijuana. There are many, and I know I learned a whole lot right before the break. Dr. McCain, I watched a story yesterday. Well, actually, I have two stories I watched yesterday that are applicable to tonight's conversation. But one was about the Doobie Brothers, and the Doobie Brothers, in fact, got their name because they were heavy users of marijuana, and everybody's image of marijuana is that you smoke a doobie, right? You roll it up. up and you smoke it, and that's how they became the Doobie Brothers. I didn't know that before yesterday, but that's true. What that does is, though, it highlights the fact that the image of using marijuana involves, smoking a joint. Are there other forms of delivery that are less, reminiscent of bad days gone by, or good days, depending on your opinion?
Yeah, absolutely. And that is one thing I think patients come and they say, well, I have respiratory illness. I guess I can't use medical cannabis. And that's unfortunate. Actually, you can use medical cannabis with respiratory illness, like I mentioned, less COPD. Some people actually find it actually therapeutic. But, you know, part of it is preference, and there are certainly a lot of options out there on the market now. Right before COVID hit, actually, they changed the science a little bit, the way that cannabis gets absorbed in your bloodstream. And there was the options such as, drops that you put under your tongue. Well, now they have lozenges that kick in 5 minutes, and so they work really rapidly. And I have a lot of people that are giving up either smoking it or vaping it, and switching out to these lozenges, for example, to get the same kind of medical benefit, that rapid-acting relief, but a little bit of even a longer-lasting benefit as well. So it's not just inhalation or sublingual drops. There are also edibles and capsules, things that you would ingest, and you actually get different mind-body effects from that compared to when you do the inhalation. So some people might find themselves actually using more than one method, because if you can get different chemistry for a complex problem, you can actually get additional benefit. There's also topical lotions, creams, patches, and there's even suppositories, vaginal creams. I think, now they have powders you can put into drinks. Really, we're seeing this whole market really boom right now, and a lot of it is just going to patient preference. But with each of these methods, there's a purpose. So each method actually has different time frames of when you'd use it, whether it's a maintenance issue, something bothering you all the time, or if it's a crisis control, you want something quicker. So that is just one way to tailor your use, is finding the method that works best.
And of course, as the physician in responsible for prescribing medical marijuana, this has to work in concert with, obviously, you and the patient. But I think people need to understand that you don't have a dog in that hunt, because you can't dispense it. Am I right about that?
That's correct. So as a physician, I have nothing to do with the dispensaries, because I would actually lose my ability to recommend cannabis. So they actually keep it very, very separate. And I think that's good, because it takes out bias, really. And so when patients come to me and they ask, well, where can I get this product, we have staff that also can help out with that. But it just keeps that level of bias away, so we can make sure patients have the best access.
I think that's fascinating. I'm under the impression, and maybe incorrectly so, that the dispensaries themselves have to be vertically integrated, and that's important for people who are listening, because of quality. Am I right about that? Do the dispensaries have to be responsible for manufacturing and growing their own medical marijuana? Or am I
correct.
Wrong?
You use that term, vertically integrated, absolutely correctly. So basically, the nurseries that are growing the cannabis is the same company that's doing the extract by their really high-level staff, pharmacists, the master's degree botanists. And then they do the extract, they concoct their different preparations, and then they even do the sales in-house at the same company. So there is no swapping and trading. If there's ever any issue with contamination, they can really source it down to where it's coming from. I think the flip side debate is that keeps prices high. There's a lack of degree of competition. But again, on the pro side, it kind of keeps it very clean and safe as far as, the state of Florida is concerned. Each dispensary is supposed to have independent lab studies, certificate of analysis for each batch of plant that they grow and extract, that should be accessible to patients. So I think that's where, there's a lot of people who'd like to see home grow. I think that's great, but not everyone can grow. And then you also have the concern that not everybody can get their own home grow tested for pesticides, funguses, molds, all of those other things that go with that.
And I would assume that would also add to the confusion as to whether it was for legal or illegal use, and that opens up a whole nother Pandora's box. I mean, this is really fascinating. I want to talk as soon as we come back. I want to talk about conditions that are best served by this. And as soon as we come back, we will. If you're just tuning in, I'm here tonight with Dr. Jessica McCain. Dr. McCain is with the Southern Comfort Marijuana Clinic, and that she is. Well, she's going to tell you how many people she's prescribed medical marijuana for. And if you've been listening, you know that medical marijuana and street marijuana are entirely different, and it has amazing potential effects, both symptom relieving and symptom altering, as well as some curative or preventative uses as well. We're going to talk about what diseases are best served with by using medical marijuana, and a whole host more. If you have questions that are different than my questions, you can reach us at 877-960-9960. That's 877-960-9960.
I'm here with Tino from Comfort Care Senior Services. Tino, you train all of your caregivers on how to deal with those who are struggling with Alzheimer's disease, right?
I do, Mike. This disease process is frightening for everyone, and change is the scariest thing for most people. Where we should start is changing the way we think. People are not dying from Alzheimer's disease. They are living with it, and we have to figure out a way for them to keep on living their best life possible. I always say activities of daily living keep people alive. Meaningful activities is what gives people a life worth living. Properly training caregivers on all sorts of dementia is very important. Learning about behavior modification techniques, avoiding triggers, tapping into the abilities that are preserved the longest with people with dementia, and figuring out what's important to them are all vital tools caregivers need to understand. Remember, it's about the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition that determines their quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620 or visit us on the web at palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
I'm here with Allison from Comfort Care Senior Services. Allison, at Comfort Care, you guys really look at every client differently.
Activities of daily living keep people alive. Meaningful activities give people a life worth living. That's why at Comfort Care, we complete a social history for our clients. It taps into one's life story to help caregivers know more about who this person was and, quite frankly, still is. It asks questions like, what did you do for a living? What volunteer work did you do? What was your favorite book or movie? Were you in the military? And the list goes on. Understanding background like this is helpful in creating meaningful activities. For example, if someone was a cartographer in the Army, perhaps a trip to the library to look at old maps of where they were station might be an interesting activity. If someone were an avid golfer, perhaps a makeshift putting green might be a fun outing. We couple that with a day in the life, which asks more of the daily routine questions, so a caregiver coming in is already familiar with the schedule. It makes the adjustment to having a caregiver that much easier. Caregivers want to help their clients live their best life possible. Being armed with the right information can help, because at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines your quality of life. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody, on this glorious Chamber of Commerce Day. I'm here tonight with Dr. Jessica McCain. Dr. McCain is with the Southern Comfort Marijuana Clinic, which clearly is self-explanatory about medical marijuana. I think there are a lot of questions out there about marijuana and about medical marijuana, and I hope that we're answering a lot of those for you tonight here on Oh My God. Dr. McCain, are there conditions that are better served with medical marijuana, or conditions that medical marijuana won't help? I think there's a lot of confusion. I know, you know, from my experience with clientele and friends that, you know, for example, we're very involved in Parkinson's. We know many people with Parkinson's are using medical marijuana. True, also with some cognitive issues in other areas. You mentioned MS before. I know that to be true as well from personal experience, cancer. But are there places where people who have not thought of medical marijuana perhaps should?
Yeah, so worldwide, the three most common reasons to use cannabis would be number one, chronic pain. Number two, anxiety. We'll add depression to that. And then number three, insomnia. So I would say actually the majority of our patients are probably coming to us maybe with that whole trifecta of conditions. Now, in the state of Florida, there's actually requirements that a condition has to be what they call debilitating, meaning that it affects the quality of life. This can be whether you have a loss of strength or a degree of activities or just quality of life in general. And then it has to be a chronic issue for which you've tried other methods or at least been counseled with other treatment options previously. So that's why we require medical records. All of our patients do meet criteria for a debilitating condition. So the state has actually listed 10 conditions that are what we call automatically qualifying. We don't have to do a lot of extra paperwork. But number 11 actually does give me as the physician if there is a condition that's similar in how it disease manifests or if it is in similar to, you know, the symptoms, then I can establish a reason to use cannabis based on the degree of debility. So in Florida, I'll just list out what those are. It's a terminal condition, of course. Cancer, a seizure disorder, glaucoma, HIV, PTSD, ALS, which is Lou Gehrig's disease, Parkinson's, and multiple sclerosis. So those are kind of what we would say automatically qualifying. But if someone comes and they have rheumatoid arthritis or ulcerative colitis, yes, that can be helpful, just like Crohn's disease. That's how we qualify outside of this list to go with. You know, anxiety, depression. Maybe it's not to the degree of PTSD or doesn't meet that clinical definition, but it certainly can be debilitating for people. So this is just specific to the state of Florida. If we look at Illinois, for example, I think their list includes 23 different diagnoses. So that's kind of where we see, I would say it's the other conditions that we typically have more patients being certified for, but certainly these automatic qualifiers are so much evidence, overwhelming amount that they are automatically benefiting.
Is it helpful for everybody who takes it?
I would say the odds are in their favor that if they're coming to our clinic, they have pretty much exhausted a lot of the primary care options that are out there. We have a lot of patients who are stuck on pain pills, and they just want to be done with that in their life. It's the opioids that cause problems. Or maybe they're taking benzodiazepines, and they wouldn't like to be on it. So actually, cannabis is a harm reducer. You can actually change it out for other medications that may be having more side effects or just causing more complications. I think you can get a quality of life benefit if you have something that is affecting you. Like I said, you know, pain, anxiety, depression, or insomnia is kind of like a broad category of three things that absolutely can benefit.
Right.
And Scott, I'll tell you, what's really important is that we talk about legislation, we talk about studies, but nobody can really talk about my experience with patients in the room. As a physician, I have a privilege of hearing some stories that I obviously can't share outside of those four walls. But I will tell you, and it is no hyperbole, we get thank yous every single day that this is a drug that has been life-changing. It has saved marriages. It has allowed people to regain their family life. Even simple as I had a grandmother say, you know what, I stood up the whole time in a kitchen, I cut a complete onion. Or I had a gentleman saying, you know what, I was able to go out and play golf, and I didn't shake when I put my ball on the tee. So things like that are true quality of life markers that you can't put a number on. And we've had a number of patients come back and tell us, and they didn't have to volunteer this information, that they didn't commit suicide. And certainly they were actually contemplating that before meeting us.
Right.
So it really can have a profound effect. And to minimize that and legislate without being in my chair and hearing patients' stories, it's really unfortunate. And that's part of it goes along with the whole myth of benefit.
So, you know, I can validate what you just said because from the clients that we have who have used medical marijuana, that is universal. That thought is universal. But that's a good segue for me to ask you. There are people listening tonight who might want to come see you and didn't know that somebody like you exists. So how, in fact, would they do that? How do they reach Jessica McCain at Southern Comfort Marijuana Clinic?
Well, actually, probably the easiest way to find our website would just be Googling exactly that. Southern Comfort Marijuana Clinic in Port St. Lucie, our website, socommjclinic.com, our phone number 218-7262, that's with a 772 area code. And then basically, like I said, our clinic is, we keep a high degree, a high standard, so we do require medical records. We take patients that are transferring over, and we offer discounts for transfers or veterans as well. But we have actually serviced now, you know, close to 4,000 people, but we've been around for 4.5 years. There's not many physicians doing this, and we are a standalone specialty clinic because it is just so dang complicated at the level of the state, and they really, you know, make it difficult for physicians to engage in this type of practice. So there's not many of us, unfortunately, and I think that's why at this point, 4.5 years into it, we get referrals from other doctors.
So give that phone number and the website one more time before we go to break.
No problem. 772 area code 218-7262. And our website is www.socomjclinic.com.
So if you're listening in, this is, of course, Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. You know we're here every Monday night from 6 to 7. If you're new, guess what? We're here every Monday night from 6 to 7 talking about issues that confront boomers and their parents. Tonight, a most important subject, a subject I have never tackled before, and I'm so excited that my guest, Dr. Jessica McCain, is here really kind of answering most of our questions about medical marijuana. I have a whole host more, so don't go anywhere. And if you have a question, there's still time. 877-960-9960. That's 877-960-9960.
The CEO of Silver Solutions, the senior-focused company that works like a family for all of your mom and dad's home-related needs as they age. From keeping them safely in their current home, to managing a downsizing or relocation to assisted living, to emptying a home and distributing the family's treasures after the loss of a loved one. Silver Solutions is there to help families move forward with ease and confidence. If you're worried about your aging parents' safety at home, or you're an older adult concerned about losing your independence, give us a call today at 1-877-AGE-SAFE. That's 1-877-AGE-SAFE. Or visit us online at silversolutions.com for a free consultation. We're bonded, insured, and follow rigorous CDC guidelines on all jobs, including the use of full PPE. You can't stop the aging process, but with Silver Solutions, you can make growing older safer and less stressful for the whole family.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As your parents get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared?
Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. ElderCare 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and resources to assist you and your loved ones with their daily activities of living with healthcare challenges.
As a patient advocate, ElderCare 360 brings together a team of patient-focused, caring professionals with decades of experience. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800.
Make ElderCare 360 part of your team. ElderCare 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
I'm here with Scott Greenberg from Comfort Care Senior Services. Scott, you're very involved when it comes to the senior community.
That's right, Mike. We firmly believe that involvement in the community, giving back to the community, comes back to us in many, many ways. One of the ways it comes back to us is in our understanding of what's going on, what's new, what's trending. So we're very involved in the guardianship community, for example. We're involved in Alzheimer's community care, in the Alzheimer's Association, in Parkinson's. We run support groups. Basically, what I'm saying is that we want to be a part of the community in ways that we just don't receive benefit, but that we can give benefit as well. It's very important for us to understand the needs of the entire community and the needs of other people who are providing services. It is only through that that we can ensure that we provide the best care possible. Remember, Mike, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines the quality of their life. So remember, let our family take care of your family and call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620, or look us up on the web at palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. If you're just tuning in, you've missed a really kind of remarkable show. We're talking about medical marijuana with Dr. Jessica McCain from the Southern Comfort Marijuana Clinic. I know I've learned a whole host of things tonight, and I'm sure that you have too, unless you just tuned in. But if you just tuned in, I have good news. Stick around. I'll tell you how you can hear the beginning of the show later, tomorrow, or anytime. Dr. McCain, you alluded to this before the break, that you have helped a tremendous number of people, more than 4,000 in the 4.5 years that the clinic is open, that it has done remarkable things, saved lives, prevented real tragedy and from some of your patients. That prompts a couple of questions. Not every physician can prescribe medical marijuana. Is that correct?
So in order to recommend, and this is a tricky thing, you've used the word prescribe, but actually we would be breaking federal law if we were prescribing anything. We're only recommending and suggesting the use. I think okay. That's the loophole. But you are right, yeah. So in the state of Florida, physicians have to take a course and be registered with the Department of Health. And I just took a look. There are 2,700 physicians in the state of Florida who've taken the course. But I will tell you, they are not all doing it. They did it out of curiosity to get their CME credits for their license. And so there's actually a really small amount of physicians that are handling the majority of these cannabis certifications. And basically, it's the ones that are in these standalone clinics, because our staff can then be really educated about the changing legal battles. I mean, every month we have a new platform for our putting the orders in the website, and rules change on a regular. We've gone through several different business models just trying to keep up with all those types of changes. So it makes it really a challenge to do this in your general doctor's offices.
So what should people be asking or looking at to separate the good players like yourself from what I assume might be some less than efficient players? Go ahead, I'm sorry.
You know what? But it is true. We've actually been trying to hire another physician to join my practice, and it's really a challenge because, you know, there's a lot of stigma, and physicians don't necessarily want to be associated with this because of future potential job issues, and I've experienced that degree of problem already myself. I would say that the law is that, a physician can do these certifications, and they last 210 days, so 7 months. You're supposed to see your physician every 7 months to kind of check in and learn more and do everything. So some doctor's offices are requiring patients to come back every 30 days. That's unfortunate because it really costs a lot of money to the patient. So we try to extend it out to the legal max, and then we actually offer patients, they can access our consult through emails in between time. We want to see patients successful. So they have access to us in between time. So that's one, is sometimes offices aren't very upfront about what their follow-up requirement is, and that is a hidden fees. I think that's one of the big things. The other one is just knowing that the office has established relationship, that they can give you the degree of education that you're seeking is regarding, you know, how to find the products that work with you, how to fine-tune your use, you know, explain to you why you had good, bad, ugly experiences. I mean, you can have negative experience with cannabis if you don't do it in the fashion that your body craves. So you need some guidance in that sense. And I've had people even come from other states who are legal states, and they say, wow, you know, I've never been explained this before. And I think that's really important if you're going to see medical benefits. So I think those are, you know, some of the things that people need to be aware of walking into these companies in Florida.
And does that translate equally to the dispensaries? Are there good and bad? Are there quality issues?
I would say I have a love-hate relationship with some of the dispensaries, but not for the sake of the quality of their products, more for their salesmanship tactics. I think you'll get a feel when you walk in there. There's just some dispensaries that are a little bit more on the true medicinal aspect. Actually some of the dispensaries have partnered with people like the Stanley Brothers, who really kicked off this whole movement more than a decade ago with Miss Charlotte Figge, in Colorado with her seizure disorders. And there's one that's partnered with Tycoon, which is an Israeli research company. And really a ton of research comes out of Israel when it comes to cannabis. So there are some that have better quality products, I would say, just as far as, there's companies that have these inhalation, these vape pens that are create smoke, and there's some that are actually smoke-free and are not harsh. So there's a degree of that, which company has the better lotions or, the better quality product. I mean, that's where the degree of competition can come in.
And you mentioned cost once or twice. Where does insurance fit into this? Is this covered by insurance or is this all private pay?
Right. So the statute actually specifically reads that insurance companies are not required because it is federally illegal. So they are not covering the medicine nor having, anything to do with the doctor's offices. I think it's interesting. One of our early patients, she was collecting Social Security disability because she was unable, 100% disabled. She started using cannabis and actually found herself wanting to get back to life. And she actually took a part-time job at a bank. And disability came back, and they said, well, now that you're working, you don't need income anymore, right? And it was unfortunate. She was actually working to pay for her cannabis. In the beginning, it was much more expensive. It's gotten much better now. But we wrote a letter to Social Security, and they actually let her keep both because here we have someone returning to society. Isn't that the goal? So it can be somewhat of a costly venture, but there is strategy. The dispensaries that might not necessarily tell you about the strategy, it's not in their best interest, but there actually is ways to use cannabis to minimize the use and get more out of it.
That's really fascinating. You highlight something that's always been kind of an enigma to me, which is that we tend to obstruct the very things that help reduce cost and help people quality of life. It never makes sense.
Because in 2013, they did a research study looking at the Part D Medicare program. And in 2013, I think there were maybe like 17 states legal. So now we're at like 36, I think.
Right.
And so what they found that was in Part D savings, which is your prescription plans, the states that had legal cannabis saved $165 million every year.
Wow. Isn't that amazing?
Exactly. So people, again, are using this as a harm reduction. I think when you're getting it from your street dealer, yes, there may be a little bit of a gateway to other drugs, but people are using medical cannabis as an exit strategy. We are fighting the opioid epidemic. We're required by law to look in a database every single visit to see if you're changing your opioid use or your benzodiazepine or any controlled substance. We keep tabs on that. And so many of our patients, that was their goal, and they are successful coming off of these other harsher drugs, and they are so happy and so proud. And I'm telling you, we are doing really great things in Florida, helping people get off these worst drugs.
It's fascinating. If you just tuned in, this is, of course, Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom, here every Monday night from 6 to 7. Tonight, we've been talking about medical marijuana, and it's a fascinating subject, a subject that I know I could talk about for hours. And I sense my guest could as well, Dr. Jessica McCain from Southern Comfort Marijuana Clinic. If you're sorry you missed the show, if you just tuned in because you're waiting for the sports show that comes right after this, or you thought you'd hear the Four Tops or the Four Seasons, good news is that you can listen to the show because we podcast it up and running tomorrow around noontime. We will podcast it to OMG I'm Getting. It works across all the platforms. I encourage you to do that. You can listen any time that you'd like. Of course, if podcasting is not your thing, and for many it is not, you can still listen to it because we put it up on our website as well, palmbeach.comforcare.com. That's palmbeach.comforcare, comforcare. Don't put a T in there. I know you want to. I know spell check will do it. Please don't do so. You'll never find us. Palmbeach.comforcare.com. There's a little icon for the radio show. It's on the right-hand side up near the top. Go for it, and you will find it. Of course, there is no reason to ever miss the show because you can download the iHeartRadio app on your smartphone and just set a reminder every Monday at 6 o'clock to listen to True Oldies in the Palm Beaches, and here we will be. Of course, we also simulcasted True Oldies FLA.com, TrueOldiesFLA.com, every Monday, 6 o'clock. Next week, we're going to talk about open enrollment. I'm sure you noticed the commercials. I'm sure your mailbox is being inundated with these beautiful brochures Medicare, managed care, Medicare Advantage. You can get free dental care. You can get a free trip, free gym membership, free home care. You can get free everything from some of these Medicare Advantage plans. Is it real? Is that true? Is it accurate? Can everybody get that? What about if you're on traditional Medicare? What if you're on Medicare Advantage and want to go back? Open enrollment is a seven-week stretch, October 15th through December 7th. It is the most important time of the year for those people on Medicare. And we're going to talk to one of the most knowledgeable people I have ever met on the subject. Desiree Mearns is going to be here. And I encourage you to tune in because next week's show is going to be really, really important. Now, in 2 weeks, if you are on Medicare and you're in the hospital and you're not sure you're getting the best care possible, who do you call? Well, you're going to find out when we talk to Nancy Jobe from KEPRO, K-E-P-R-O, KEPRO. That is an advocacy group funded by CMS, and it helps Medicare recipients advocate to get the most out of either their Medicare Advantage or Medicare, traditional Medicare policy. I did a show on KEPRO 3 or 4 years ago. It was a game changer for a lot of people. It will be for you. Nancy is very excited to be a guest, and she'll be here in 2 weeks. So next week, open enrollment. in 2 weeks, KEPRO. But in the few minutes I have left, Dr. McCain, I think, you know, kind of the question that maybe I've saved for near the end on purpose, who and when should people consider entertaining the idea of using medical marijuana?
I think that comes down to what your quality of life is. Is your life where you want it to be, or do you feel like you have any physical health issues or mental health issues that are just slowing you down or making you just not enjoy life as well? I would take that as an opportunity to contemplate if you'd be a good candidate for cannabis use. If you've tried other medications and they just don't seem to work as well, you probably would be a great candidate for cannabis.
And people shouldn't, I know people are afraid because, again, all the legal issues, we've kind of covered that a little bit. Nobody's coming for your gun if you take this, right? I know that's a big misnomer out there, correct? Right?
No. Yeah, that's a really big one. Even in our veteran community, a little bit of a misunderstanding. So concealed carries are a state-by-state law. In the state of Florida, our Commissioner of Ag, Ms. Nikki Freed, is actually both carriers of a concealed carry and a medical cannabis card, so she certainly supports carrying both. The asterisk comes from when you're trying to purchase a firearm. So if you're going to a gun dealer like Lotus Gunworks locally or a pawn shop, you're going to have to fill out the 4473 ATF form, which question number 8 reads, do you use illegal drugs? And they changed it, parentheses, including medical marijuana, even in states where it's legal. So if you answer yes, you're going to be denied purchase. And if you answer no, then you could be committing a felony. So it's the purchase of a firearm that becomes a little bit of a tricky thing. People are able to maintain concealed carry. There's nothing in the application as of yet that would prevent you from getting that. And, of course, there's other ways to get your firearms, or if you have what you need, then you're set.
That really clears up a lot for, I'm sure, a lot of people. One more time, how do people reach you, Dr. McCain?
I would say Google us, Southern Comfort Marijuana Clinic, our website, socommmjclinic.com, and our phone number, 772-218-7262.
You know, you really are just an incredible wealth of information. You're so engaging. You have so much information to dispense. I cannot thank you enough for taking the time. I know you have a very busy practice and a growing family, and you've been very generous in your time and in the information you've given us tonight. I simply can't thank you enough, and I truly appreciate all that you have committed to, and I think the work you're doing is just amazing. I know I learned a lot tonight, and I'm sure the audience did as well. So thank you so much.
It's really my pleasure, Scott. And thanks for having an open mind and hosting me.
No, it's been great, and I wish you all the best and much continued success. And maybe we'll do it again someday. But it's been really great. I truly, truly appreciate it. Dr. Jessica McCain from Southern Comfort Marijuana Clinic. Please, if you're thinking about it, I can't imagine anyone better for you to reach out to, so give her a shout. We'll be here next week with Desiree Mearns. One more thing before I leave. I reiterated last week that I went to a restaurant and I saw this sign in that restaurant. It said, in memory of 9/11 and the 13 fallen service members, we are serving only patriots of the United States. If you are still a Biden supporter, this restaurant is not for you. I can't begin to tell you enough. That is in Uncle Eddie's Ristorante in Jupiter. It's on Route 1. I find that to be the single most offensive sign I have ever seen in a restaurant that I have ever gone into. So, of course, I'll never go back. I encourage you to do the same. Patriots come in all shapes and sizes, all right? You don't have to vote for somebody to be considered a patriot. I'm offended by it. I hope you are too. I hope you don't go back. But on that note, I want to thank my guest, Dr. Jessica McCain. Oh my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. She's with the Southern Comfort Marijuana Clinic. We'll be back next week here with Oh My God. I can't thank you enough. I can't thank my guest enough. Have a good night, all. We'll see you next week. Oh my God, getting older. So is my mom. Good night.